Okay, I've got 9:05. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you might need to address the court. We'll begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here peacefully, and we come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we're so thankful for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon us as you watch over us, guide us, and protect us. Lord, we ask that you place your hand of wisdom on this court as we attempt to do here on earth what honors you in heaven. And we ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And the pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than the matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on with the item number five, which is the consent agenda. Noting that there are five items there, the court can consider the consent agenda in its entirety, or you may select any or all of those items to be taken out and discussed individually.
Judge, I'd like to discuss the County Commissioners Court meeting minutes of May 28th, and also, I believe, June 4th. I've asked Ms. Newton, we have item 10, 11, 13, 16, and 19 that either need signatures or copies. Now, I don't know when these were done and all of that. Are they, I guess, sitting on your desk? Let me rephrase that. Normally we have an executive session. A lot of times we do signing parties. So I kind of get confused on what's been signed and what hasn't. So.
Commissioner, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay. Would you mind looking in?
Yeah, I can look into it, but okay. I mean, I can't answer you, you know, definitively.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll follow up on it. I see a lot of things hanging out there. Other than that, that's the only, everything else is good on it.
I'll make a motion ready for on the consent agenda A, B, C, D, and E.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six on the agenda is the Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham.
Yeah, Judge, your normal report, just because we haven't been putting the information from May in our database. Trying to make sure we got the right format to meet declaration requirements. But we do currently have 88 open service requests, closed out 29 during the month. We had 7 low water crossings that had concrete damage. You know, patches estimated achieved within target. We've been kind of compiling for all the FEMA damage. County Road 274 low water crossing at Coryell Creek is shut down. We're going to start demoing some of the old concrete structure off this week to see if we can salvage the older one that's underneath the current. You know, in the past, what they would do is, you know, maybe a lower crossing from the 20s and they'd build upon it. And then, you know, maybe the one we're working on now from the 80s or 90s, that's the exterior you see. So we're going to build some of those layers back and see what's left. Depending on what we discover out of that, whether we're going to have to keep that shut down permanently, or if we can kind of temporarily open it until we decide what to do with the CDBG MIP grant or whatever path we need to go to. Our recommendation would be if we do have to shut it down, we move forward and do something because that is a pretty good thoroughfare through there. So we're kind of waiting and seeing on that. We should hopefully by the end of the week have answers whether it's going to have to continue to stay shut down or not. We're basically diverting our funds for our scheduled summer paving, getting diverted to these repairs right now. So there's not going to be a lot of that going on in any. We've employed some temporary work staff to attempt service agents. They started this morning. See how that goes. We also, during the month of May, had a couple contractors helping us with damage to get things open. Started back crushing rock, making riprap. We need it. So, actually going to rent a scalping screen to produce some riprap. It's graded, something easier to handle. Putting some of these washout spots and ditches. We're going to shoot to make like a Gabion type rock bag, 12 inch rock, kind of a football size rock. We've had two, three men and crews going around picking up brush with great awls, debris after all this. Pretty much any blade operator that's available or their blades running, we've been blading across the roads. During the month of May, we had to look at our low water crossings 4 to 5 times during the event. Some of them more, some of them less. One of the big issues I have right now going on is County Road 225, which is in the northern part of the county, goes from TxDOT is demoing some bridges up there, and they do not have the detour signs going down our road, but the barricades are right at our road. History on 225, we rebuilt it last year, pretty much ground up, brand new. Now, with all this traffic being diverted down in fresh asphalt in combination with the heat and the rain, it's failing. Subgrades intact, but what's happening is the oil is active still, for a new road, where it washed out by the creek down there on the bridge during the rain events. It ripped a section of the road out. All that fresh oil and asphalt was on top of the driving surface. Cars drive through there, they're picking that oil up, tracking it down the rest of the road with all that oil still being fresh, and the amount of traffic going up and down. They're just picking sections of that, it's kind of a snowball effect. Fresh asphalt on top of pretty recent asphalt. Just picking it up, ripping strips up the road. Lots of construction traffic, lots of farm traffic, lots of detour traffic accessing that bridge. Reached out to County Commissioner in Boston County. They've mentioned that they're having a kind of a similar issue, and they've talked to TxDOT about potentially getting some help redoing one of the roads. So, all that being said, it's 3.7 miles, give or take. We've got a reclaimer scheduled to be there tomorrow to till it all back into road base.
Okay. Well, thank you. And thank you for all the work that you've done in data collection, supporting our submissions to FEMA and to TEDM as part of this disaster. Any questions, comments for Mr. Latham? Not, I would entertain a motion to approve the road and bridge report.
Second.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor to approve the road and bridge report. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 7 was scheduled to be an update from the Silver Hair legislator, Mr. Alan Mathis. He is unable to be with us this morning. So we will reschedule him for a later date. Ms. Newton, if you would note that
Item number 7 was not presented. Item number 8, consider selecting a firm to develop a courthouse master plan. As you recall, we have issued an RFP, received responses to that RFP or RFQ for the development of a courthouse master plan, conducted interviews last Thursday with 3 of the top candidates as determined by this court. So the task before the court this morning would be, if they so choose, to select a firm to engage with contract negotiations so that we could initiate the development of a courthouse master plan. Ms. Sherry Lawrence from the county's historical committee sat in on those, and I would invite Ms. Lawrence to give her assessment of how the interviews went and kind of the standpoint of what our county historical committee thinks.
Thank you for giving us some consideration in this important endeavor. After 3 very good presentations, I don't think we could really go on in any of the 3 companies that we are considering. But my opinion, and also that of Danny Corbett, who's our historical commission chairman, feel like that the Architexas company would probably be the best choice. I was impressed by the fact that they've worked on 2 Dodson courthouses already and successfully obtained an approved master plan with those courthouses. Another point that they seem to be stronger on was that they were more willing and had better ideas about the phased approach to restoring our courthouse rather than just a complete restoration in one large project. And the other thing that I was impressed with was that they seem to have, just kind of off the top of their heads, come up with quite a few different outside funding possibilities for our courthouse restoration and repairs. Some federal grants, and TxDOT, universities, philanthropists. They just seem to have those names kind of at hand more readily than the other 2 companies did. Overall, I feel like they have an advantage in those points, but the other companies were I don't think we'd make them study, choosing either one of the other 2 companies. Very good presentation and brought a lot of important things to light that maybe we have thought about before. So proceeding with the master plan, I think, is the ideal way to handle our present
problems
and our future problems, which are sure to show up. Thank you.
I would echo Sherry's sentiments that from my standpoint, I thought 3 very good interviews, presentations were just really informative, and all 3 of them, hit on a few different things, unique to their organizations. Architexas does have, has submitted and approved 34 master plans. They've conducted 21 restorations. And again, with 2 of those being on, Dodson courthouses, with their only 6 remaining in the state, that means they've already worked on a 3rd of them. So just from my standpoint, Architexas would be my preferred choice.
Judge, I agree with you. All 3 very good candidates. All 3 very good. I mean, like I said, I don't think you can go wrong with anybody, but I agree. My choice is Architexas because they have worked on the Dodson courthouse, and that's who I'd like to see this court go with. And that's my opinion.
Architexas was my number 1 on my rating sheet. And so they were number 1 going in, and kind of look at it like the football poll, right? You go in number 1 and you win your game, whether it's by 1 point or not. But I think they deserve the win in this case. So I would support Texas also.
That would be the same.
I concur.
Well, I make a motion to, appoint architects for the development of our courthouse master plan.
We've got a motion to select architects to develop courthouse master plan from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Item number 9, update and actions on grants to include but not limited to the SS4A, HMP, RCP, and CDBG MIT.
Good morning, Judge.
Morning, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I was about to call you by someone else's name. It was just come out of my mouth, so I apologize for my awkward pause.
No problem. I have no updates on SS4A. Once we have an idea of when announcements will be made, I will let everyone know.
Okay. Very good. Hazard mitigation plan. We're still waiting on, or does anybody have any questions on SS4A? Or hazard mitigation plan, we're still waiting on about 4 entities to return their resolutions adopting that.
I think
I'm sorry?
I believe it's just one.
Just one? Okay.
ISD.
All right.
I believe everybody else has
returned. Yeah, and there's there is tonight. Their meeting's tonight.
Okay.
So they've got it on the agenda, or supposed to have it on the agenda, and that should be done tonight.
Okay, if we can get those consolidated, have those been forwarded to either me or Hannah?
I forwarded them all to the county.
Judge, who do you want to forward it to?
Either myself or Hannah. That, I mean, they have all the context. I was following up with a conversation I had with Mr. Manning, since they have linked with TEDM and FEMA, asking them to help facilitate the submission of those.
So me and Mr. Wood had a phone call last week with Tammy, used to be Coddle at Soli now, and we're working with her. She sent us a new set of forms that we need to fill out, walk us through the process of submitting all the documents for reimbursement, and she was going to be kind enough to upload some of those documents for us and give them the correct naming convention that they needed. I created a Dropbox folder and already put most all of those things in there for her, gave her access to those. And so as soon as we get that one from Cove, all that will be there for her to be able to access. And I expect that we're going to have that LHMPP grant closed out by the end of the month, finally closed out by the end of the month, and our draw done. I did confirm with her last week, and Mr. Wood had a call with her, that we would be able to draw down the, up to the $100,000, our contract amount plus our in kind of participatory work. So we're working on putting together that information. She's also sent us the form that we need to fill out for that. So I don't foresee needing NRS to do that, but so very, very helpful last week, holding my Mr. Wood's hand and walking us through that process, getting a blind out, for lack of a better term.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that additional information. Anything else we need to cover under the HMP? Moving on to RCP, we have rescheduled, I guess, for the third time. The initial Gatesville meeting will be June 18th. And the second round of meetings have been scheduled, public meetings have been scheduled. Lisa's working on those. I don't have those exact dates, but it is going to be, I believe, the third week of July, the third or fourth week of July. And I think I'll get her to email out what those confirmed dates are with MRB. Anything else to cover on RCP?
We did visit with Tammy last week on our call about that as well. There are some, the Tiger Portal has changed a little bit as far as uploading the monthly reports and stuff. She walked us through that process last week as well.
And we are currently able to make a draw on that program as well. She's two resolutions that I need the court to adopt today. They should have the signatory resolutions for me and Mr. Wood to be able to sign off on those documents to make those draw requests. Hopefully y'all got them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else under RCP? And then, again, CDBG MIT, Mr. Belt, have you had received any updates or heard any additional other than we're still waiting for funds to be released?
Judge, I don't know if you saw, can't remember if you copied on that last email that General Vivian sent out where she was asking them to please see if they could push up the process a little on reviewing our new submitted application. But they did respond to that email and said that they were going to do their best and that they were going to visit with the folks above them about maybe trying to expedite the review process and the RFI process so that that could be get consideration sooner rather than later. So 274 being our biggest project when they're currently being closed. But that was the last I saw. Can't remember if it was Friday or yesterday I saw it, but the email come through and they're going to try to expedite that.
I think it came on Thursday, full Friday, saying they were going to finish up or try to finish it.
Okay, questions, comments, concerns under CDBG MIT? Any other grants the court wishes to discuss?
I did miss one on the RCP, just that MRB rented a booth at the Shivery, and they were out there all day Saturday getting surveys and just talking to people. Since they had missed the first meeting, they felt they needed to get out to the public a little bit locally. Sorry about that.
Just forgot about it. That's all right. Good. anything else to cover under item number 9? Hearing none, move on to item number 10 is update on construction projects.
Okay.
Your list is longer.
Yeah, it was a busy one. We only had one owner's meeting between the last court, but it was a busy one. On the 25th, I will be putting a line item on the for Jeff to come in and Jeff Happelfinger and present color boards for the interior finishes. And then Josh Contreras with Butler Cone will do a construction update, a little, maybe more in depth. We can ask him any questions than what I give. Site progress, this was as of 5:30. So they've made some more progress, but structural steel was 75%. Expected finish was in 2 weeks from that date. The steel deck was being laid, at the time. If you've gone down there, you'll see the CMU is ongoing. The three areas will be finishing next week. They were having some inspections. The trusses will be delivered on 6/4. So that was another milestone. And they're starting on work to, close in the building. So they'll start seeing some walls. Hot topics. They were going to get with the county on some rock for the backfill of the retaining walls. S3 is working on the pathways for the controls and a walkthrough. We're set a meeting date to meet with a security team to go through all the security functions and pathways. And the fire alarm and sprinkler permits are being submitted and requested. Parking lot 4 is almost complete. The detention pond is also in progress. I know they built the retaining wall for the detention pond, and they should be pouring the approaches. I haven't been down there this week, but should be pouring the approaches.
I've been on yesterday. The trusses are up.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I tell you, when they hit the...
Yeah. Looked like they were setting some forms together.
Yeah. And let's see. Cold form metal framing, CFMs, will start next week. Should take about 3 weeks. And... that's it. We have, of course, another owner's meeting this Thursday. Oh, I take that back. We did have one on 6-6. Sorry, I had a page in between. Nick Lamb is our new project manager from F8 on the data side. Permanent power. Ran into a little bit of a thing. Texas, New Mexico Power. They presented us a bill with $27,000. They had tax on it. We were unable to attend the conference call with them. We were in the interviews. We got the tax removed because we are a non-tax, entity. Trying to ask why they were even charging us anything, but there's a ERCOT problem. There's this, it's pretty legitimate. So I think it ended up being $21,000 for removal of poles and placement of poles and everything. So should be topping out, which is, I guess, a very big thing in construction here in a couple of weeks. So they're working on exterior sheathing, framing, backfill, CMU pump, plumbing and electrical upper portion is being done currently. And so when they tested the concrete, we need 3,500 PSI, and we're testing most of the time at 6 to 7,000. So got a really good concrete pour. Okay, that's it.
Any questions concerning construction at the annex? Okay, we'll go to remodel at this annex.
Yes, got the carpet in. Talked to Mr. Brothers this morning, and he is trying to get the state to move their wire for the computer system, and the cabinet should be here the 24th. And his plan is to move on the 5th if the state gets their internet stuff moved. He's hoping to know something this week on that.
Okay. Any questions concerning remodel of this building? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, which will be consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions the court wishes to take in support of construction projects?
Have any action, Judge?
Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you would note no action taken for item number 11. Item number 12, consider budget amendment number 10 for FY 2024. Budget number 10 involves the shifting of funds from the general fund to the forfeiture fund. Originally, in the original budget passed, those are funds that were going to cover additional salaries until SB 22 funding became available. But did I express that correctly, Mr. Wood?
Similar. That's close. Well, we're just canceling the transfer out of his forfeiture fund.
Yeah.
Taking that off. I might say 2,000.
Sorry, I thought you were going to make a motion to approve budget amendment number 10 for FY 2024.
We've got a motion to approve the budget amendment from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 13, consider court order CC 24-06, declaration of local disaster. This is an extension of the local disaster that had previously been approved by this court. I've handed you a highlighted copy noting all of the changes from the previous declaration, which is to update a number, two dates, and identify the previous court order that had been passed.
Make a motion to approve court order CC 2024-03.
Second.
Got a motion to approve court order CC 2024-06 from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. As previously mentioned by Mr. Belt in the updates, grant updates, item number 14 is consider resolution CC 24-04, depository agreement, depository and authorization signatories designation for the local hazard mitigation plan project.
I make a motion to approve resolution CC 24-04, depository authorized signatories designation for the LHMPP.
Second.
Motion to approve from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 15 is to consider resolution CC 24-05, depository authorized signatories designation for the Resilient Communities Program Grant, RCP.
I make a motion to approve Coryell County Resolution CC 24-05.
Second.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to approve, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 16, consider reviewing the Time Clock Plus contract.
Arlen asked for this to be on here. Yeah, probably. Just discuss it. There's a discount for carrying it through 2028, but my opinion on it is to just renew it for the year, be it that they're working on the auditor's office and treasurer's office is working on some software, possibly in the near future, that may eliminate this or work in conjunction with it. But it is expired.
While we have dead space. So we had a thing came up and it was brought to my attention. I'm not sure I know that. Well, I don't know the answer to it. When we were talking about the body cams and the in-car videos, they offered us a five-year payout. Mr. Wood and I have had some conversations of whether that is court taking on future debt. And I don't know about renewing contracts like this. Is this committing to future debt for future courts if you went for a five-year deal or not?
Man, I'm glad you brought that together.
Yeah.
Mr. Wood has informed me that, you know, there's maybe some language that we need to start adding to contracts that might make them a little stronger from a, you know, our commitments and the legality side of things. Because those contracts are contingent upon the court continuing to authorize that, you know, budget year after budget year, and might potentially need some language that supports that in those contracts. And I think that would affect maybe make us a little bit more legally compliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's, in-car videos was a big one. I mean, that was a 100,000, you know, commitment, you know, over, you know, a 5-year period. So, but I'm sure we enter into multiple maintenance contracts and stuff that are multi-year.
Ms. McFarland is tied up at the time, but through her office, they're recommending just the engineer renewal of $4,968.60.
I don't understand the pricing we have here because it says current and then it has 2024.
Yeah, because it's expired.
So
the 30th of June.
I don't know. This was sent out to all of you. So
yeah,
it doesn't.
I noticed. I mean, I guess the current is what we are in that just ended. Is what I would bet.
Yeah, that would be ending on June 30th.
Right.
But doesn't really spell that out. So it looks like it'd be
6,000.
If I was a betting man, I'd say it's $5,117.66 from June 30th of 2024 to June 30th of 2025. But
that's a guess.
Yeah, I think we need to get them to submit us a contract.
Well, see, I'm looking at that under the 5-year. Is that number? Unless I'm reading it wrong, under the 1 year, I think we're looking at.
Yeah, 1 year is 5,000. 5,465.46.
Yeah, sure.
I'd be
with the courts.
I'd be glad, yeah, to get with Ms. McFarland and get a contract that states the beginning and ending date and the amount.
That I would, I mean, there's a lot of maybe still unknowns that not outrageous, but I would think it might be prudent of the court. If we would table this item until later in the meeting, such time that give Ms. McFarland an opportunity to come down here and talk to us if she's available later on in the meeting. And then once that time occurs, you know, we can then determine, you know, is this an action item for today versus is this something that we might need to consider at our next meeting?
Thank you.
Was that... So the motion is to table until later in the meeting, and the second is from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 16 at this time? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 17 is discussion of jail solutions from the Texas jail standards.
Well, we had that meeting the other day, tried to come up with some plans and some methods to try to curtail some of the prisoner board budget and look for solutions for that. It's already happening. As of Monday, we dropped by 20-ish, and which has helped. I did reach out to Byron Shelton I believe the sheriff did reach out to Byron as well. That's our inspector. And asked for some of the variance.
Michael Gravitt is now our inspector. He spoke with him. All of the enforcement that we were on before has since been rectified and has passed, so we're not on any of that anymore. Not being on any of that enforcement, we can go up and bump our 10% number really hard. And we have set a in-house policy at 125 that we will try to maintain. If we drop below 125, we start shipping back. If we go over, we start shipping out. And of course, that number is going to fluctuate pretty seriously given court dockets, what have you. But we have a plan for that as well. Our TDC ready inmates, when we have to bring back the court dockets, we'll take those out to try to keep that balance going. Also reached out to Johnson County. That increase of $105, they have agreed to hold back till after October, after the new budget kicks in. So that'll be a magic number for us to figure. Other than that, today I think our in-house is 124 and out of county is 60, with 48 being in Johnson to meet our minimum and 12 in Boston County. The contract that we have with Johnson, you know, we might as well keep 48 of them there. I mean, that's the contract. I mean, I'd rather them deal with our problems than us have to deal with
them. Yeah, we definitely don't want to lose them, Chair.
No, they've been very, very good. They've been probably the best partners we've had since the old Dave Green days in Violet County. I mean, it's...
we don't take anybody, so it's a huge...
You know, and that's the thing. Stream inviting people, it don't make no difference. Johnson County will take them.
I have reached out to some officials on that house bill that y'all are having to deal with now, that 2620. I haven't gotten any response yet.
That's kind of a punch in the face, right?
It is. But reading through it, I don't know. I don't know if they're the director of TDC is interpreting it in a certain way, and we're interpreting it a different way, but
it'd be nice to have a good tabletop with all the powers to be.
That's what I agree. Because that's detrimental to our jail and our prison board. So,
well, we've leaned way forward and hoping, you know, do the best we can what we got. Save a few dollars here, save a few dollars there.
That's all good, Mr. Chair. Thank
you. Yeah, thank you. And what, Byron, did he promote, or is he just a re-reason?
He left.
Gave me the information.
Yeah. He's good for information, but he left. He now works back at Bell County.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't bug him anymore, but I've got to say. All right. Thank you.
Anything else to cover under item number 17? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 18, discussion on Red Cross.
They asked for a visit with the court. They contacted me May the 5th through June the 6th, trying to reach the emergency management coordinator of the county. And they told me as of Friday, they have made contact. So they no longer needed to come visit with the court.
Anything else we need to discuss under item number 18?
Unless there's something that they shared with you that we need to know about.
Anything else we need to cover?
I don't know. I was asking you. It's still discussion. Y'all had the discussion. Is there anything that we need to know about? That's what I'm kind of asking.
Not at this point.
Oh, OK.
Anything else discussed under item number 18?
Not at this point.
Hearing none, moving on to item number 19, discussion and consider documents, process, and procedures of DR 4781.
This was shared from Mr. Latham's office. This has got to do with the disaster and the county's timeline. It's really what everyone can understand that we have a timeline on this, some of this stuff. And I don't know if Mr. Latham has anything that he wants to share with it. It's just, I really wanted the information to be out there.
We're going to have a kickoff meeting that's coming. It was fast after declaration. We'll have what they call it, kickoff meeting, your official meeting. Governments, you know, non-individuals, I believe, are on the first meeting of like any fire companies, utilities, nonprofits, things like that. I don't see anything on it yet. I'm going to start talking this.
Is there anything that you can from us? Thanks, sir.
There are a couple of things that probably going to have to do here pretty quick. I know we all talked so about a location for a center for the DRC for them people to come set up for about a week. For 10 days to get individuals to come in and meet with them. I don't know if y'all come up with a location yet for that, but I know FEMA's ready to come inspect one along the way. Further down the list, we're going to go on the inspection list, along we're going to get put off. After that process occurs, they tell me that they need an area designated for the hardest hit areas in the county, and they're going to call it the D-STAT. So we have the I-STAT, the P-STAT, and the D-STAT. The D-STAT is the process where FEMA is actually going to go out in the areas that we designate as most heavily damaged and go door to door, knocking on doors. And we played on this about the other day. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening here in the next 3 weeks or so, sounds to me like it. I'm not sure who's ramrodding all that, but somebody probably needs to be.
I did invite them up this morning. They have been here. And they met with the emergency management coordinator, so hopefully we'll get some ball rolling.
Well, this area right here, meet to their satisfaction? Did it meet whatever standards they have? Just from here?
In my discussion with them, given the duration that they're talking about, their scheduling conflicts, even outside this court, that would prohibit them from utilizing this room. Right now we're looking at a couple of different alternatives. We had already reached out to the city concerning the small room out at the Civic Center, but there's some scheduling conflicts that we're having to work through there. Given the timeline that Tatum was communicating with me this morning, being sooner is better, they're currently the District 23 coordinator put him in contact with Dr. Pollard from GISD to potentially utilize the cafeteria of the intermediate school because that particular building would not impact any of the other sports activities or various things that the school has going on at this time.
Might be set up today or?
No, the process is the site's got to be inspected. It's got to be validated. They fill out some paperwork and they send it up. Mr. Shaw indicated that it takes about 48 hours to get that validation. So even if they did the site inspection, selected it valid and submitted it for validation, the earliest that that location would be set up would be Monday. And that is for individual assistance. The kickoff meeting for public assistance is being coordinated with Mr. Matthew Weeks. He had sent us a list of dates. We've identified a location for that particular kickoff meeting, and we're waiting to hear back on what date and time they're ready to do that. And again, public assistance would be your municipalities, county government, your school districts, all the public entities.
Didn't they visit with you, Judge, about how they were going to advertise that DRC center?
They did not. One of the things that I talked to Mr. Shaw about was, you know, he said, you know, establishing it quickly and then a duration. And there was another lady here. I didn't catch her name, but, you know, so the duration would probably be, you know, 30 days. And I told her that told both of them, one of the challenges that we face is the dissemination of that information, given, you know, our limited outreach.
Somebody run the newspaper? Most people get their news off social media these days, unfortunately, but yes, I mean, something in the newspaper would be wonderful, and something, I don't know, you know, we talked about one time before what our capacity was with the Code Red system, being able to send messages to people in those targeted areas. I don't know what our capacity of that is. I'm not familiar with that system, but we need to do something to get the word out. But they're going to be sitting around off the board with nothing to do. There's nobody there.
But,
a lot of these people are already fixing their damages, and if they don't document it beforehand.
When I got the word out to everyone with the Edens site, I encouraged everybody to take photos. They can upload about 10 photos to that iStat. And most of those are being, I think, tended to. I think it's the ones with the homes that are at a loss.
Yeah.
And they just don't know what to do.
Well. What will they cover on iStat? Anybody know? You know, I've had a lot of questions asking me, and I tell them property damage and, you know, pavement, structures, things like that. I believe they will assist with. I've just been directing them to the Teton side.
When I attempted to fill out iStat, and so I'll say from my standpoint, it would not accept my submission if I did not have damage to my house. There isn't a house on my property, and it specifically says, you know, not including barns and outbuildings. I've asked the folks from Team at Tenum and FEMA to give us some guidance on how do we submit agricultural losses, and they have not given me anything firm, but, you know, it may involve getting USDA in here to handle that piece of it. But the FEMA lady did indicate that, you know, agricultural farm losses can be covered in this. It's a matter of us figuring out how to do that and then getting that word out.
When I reached out to them, it's kind of the same. But if there wasn't a residence or a physical address that they could put on that fence, if it was a piece of property, they recommended that the Tedum's folks that I talked to recommended that you start it with your resident address and then you go into your agricultural office. They said it's a little confusing that way, but that's just how their system is built. But there is supposed to be FEMA, SBA, all of them that will be participating or can participate to include your local USDA folks. So it's mainly just reporting and documenting. I mean, this week, I actually it's all the way up to Sunday of yesterday. Sunday last week, saying, you know, I just got to the feed store and found this thing that you're supposed to click on. How do I report it? Got to go in and report it. So. Hopefully, they can get all the blood work out of
Anything else to cover under item number 19? Hearing none. Is Ms. McFarland available? We want to check to see whether we want to.
I think
Ms. Weddle.
Ms. Weddle's stepping in her place.
She's not currently available, but I did communicate with her and what she, and I'm not sure that I heard everything you guys were talking about before. I think there's some confusion in the date on the contract. Is that accurate?
That and pricing, the way it was listed in our packets coming out.
So she's coming through for this one year, currently in the contract, but the contract expired prior to this meeting. She tried to get it on the agenda before, apparently before the contract expired. I don't know the story behind that, but we are currently in the new contract. So what she's trying to do is get the approval in base for a 1 year contract with them. If we need to amend their verbiage as such to send it back in that way, then so be it.
And the if you know, the list that we got would show the contract that is the new one. Would be pricing for the 2024 year at $5,465.46.
Contract dollar amount. She didn't get into
that. Okay.
Mr. Wood, and I'm very confused too, because, well, which they don't have. So on the very first page, this is more a PowerPoint presentation than it is a contract.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of, it says we're paid until 6:30. Of 2024. That's what they're, okay, right? That's what they're telling us.
I agree.
Do you know what that SAAS and 412-24H, what those two designations are? No clue.
I have no clue.
Okay.
Ms. Weddle, do you have any idea if Ms. McFarland would be available a little bit later, another 20?
She will be.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you can give her maybe 30, 45 minutes?
I think we can probably,
yeah,
probably accommodate that. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Let's continue on with item number 20, and I appreciate the court's indulgence in kind of seeing where we were with item number 16. Item number 20, presentation from David Quinn, Program Manager of Public Power Pool, in reference to the forward budget report for electricity expenditures in FY25. Mr. Quinn, how are you?
Good morning, Judge. Good. How are
Thank you?
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate the opportunity to present to you all today. My name is David Quinn. I'm the Program Manager for Public Power Pool, the 501c4 Political Subdivision Corporation that was set up by Texas counties back at the beginning of the deregulated electricity market, specifically to get you into a better deal by aggregating the load, combining your load with 99 other political subdivision members, and by doing so, being able to drive down with the rate, getting you close to wholesale price and getting you a better quality contract. We're a 501c4 political subdivision corporation. We are a nonprofit. We do this as a service available to political subdivisions in the state. We manage about 3,500 accounts. Is currently worth about $60 million a year, about 2 million megawatt hours. So there's a presentation inside that folder on the left-hand side. I'll step you through it just quickly. Page 2 shows you the current membership list. As I mentioned, there's 99 of the subdivisions in the group, including a lot of your neighbors all the way up to the Metroplex. To page 3, you can see the savings accumulated by the program since it began. In 2002, with the state members, $201 million against market. That's comparing the fixed rate in each of our P3 contracts, 9 contracts done to date, comparing that rate to what was available on the open market every day since deregulation in 2002. For Carrial County, Yola saved $142,000. That's shown on page 4. Now, that is our calculation of your savings today, $142,000 saved since you joined in 2009. The PUC actually has those run a different kind of calculation, which is shown on the next page. Each year, we send this to you all to make available to constituents, taxpayers. It's House Bill 3693 report. And what that does is it shows you what you've consumed in the previous calendar year, what you have spent, and what the savings are using a comparison of that total spend to what the PUC has established as a benchmark rate called the provider of last resort. And you can see that just in last year, in 2023, you saved $61,422 against that PUC benchmark. So then that calculation shows you bigger savings than our own in-house calculation. We use a pretty conservative methodology, but I think it's important for you to see what the PUC estimates you've saved by being part of this program as well. Just a word about how we do this. When we do an RFP, we send it out to every registered retail electric provider in the state. Last time we did this 3 years ago, there were 155 registered retail electric providers in the state. We're not trying to award to any preferred provider or anyone we've done business with in the past. We want to make sure we have a level playing field. Everybody has an equal opportunity to bid on this contract and to believe that you're going to get the best deal, the lowest rate, the best contract by opening it up to everybody for full competition. Last time we did this, we put you in a contract 3 years, 23, 24, and 25 at 5.76 cents per kilowatt hour. And the reason why I wanted to come and talk to you all today was because we have just issued a forward budget report for you all for your FY25 that's shown on page 7. At the fixed rate of 5.76 cents, we anticipate that if your consumption continues at the current rate, if your consumption patterns follow the same patterns they have over the past 12 months, you should budget for $178,199 at FY25. And that's really why I wanted to come talk to you all today. We have you on the contract through P3. For the end of next year. We are always looking for a new opportunity to purchase for, given that it's always better to be prepared and try to get ready for any opportunity in the marketplace to purchase at a low rate. We've been watching this since we did the last contract. As soon as we do a contract, we start looking ahead, looking forward. We are not ready to procure right now. We would not recommend going into procurement mode at this time because, as you can see on page 8, there's been quite a big divergence between the electricity price, which is the blue line at the top, and the gray line at the bottom, which is natural gas prices. We like to think that that is going to converge again and more closely align. And if that happens within that green band, which we call our strike zone, then we will be ready to procure, and we'll be back in touch with you with a procurement proposal showing you what we expect to be able to achieve with a new procurement in the future. Realistically speaking, we're not going to be ready to do that until the fall of this year, probably into the spring of next year. So we will be back in touch with you as soon as we have that procurement proposal ready. It is an opt-out process. So if the county decides to do something else other than stay with P3, then we give you 60 days to notify us if you want to do something different. But you'll have been with us for quite a while now. We appreciate your continued participation in the group. What's good for you is good for 99 other members as well. And just on the final page, just showing you our current board of directors. They manage every step of the way as we go through a procurement process. It's Judge Jenkins from Dallas County, Commissioner Bailey from Rockwell County, Commissioner Jones from Lieutenant County, the new county administrator up in Tarrant County is Champion Merritt. And we also have the director of one of our large nodes in the Hamilton County area, John Pruitt, on the board as well. So we have good representation of all the council members on the board, including representation from three of your neighbors. During an open campus.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Quinn, the one question that comes to my mind is we've recently, as I understand it, had a spike that has really, and I'll say it, I don't know that that spike even reflects that this building, and it was associated with this building.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know that this building can consume the amount of electricity that TMMP is saying that was consumed at that point. What, if anything, is P3 going to do to help us, to help assist us in, filing a complaint or you know, what type of resolution we would get from that? Because my understanding is that is going to have a significant impact on our billing for the next 12 months.
They ratcheted it down to 860 kilowatts, which is reflecting about $6,600 on our monthly bill. So we're going to have to suffer that for the next 11 months.
Yes.
I think what, and I believe it's going to be tied to that new line and that construction. I think that's separate. It's just billing here.
No, sir.
You don't think it is?
No, sir. No, because they wouldn't have. I guess they could. I guess they could bury it up in your usage charges, but I don't. I think we're going to see a separate bill.
The dollar amount was awfully close, but.
It surprised us as well because it's only been over the last couple of months that we've seen that spike. We red flagged it. You can see as we produce those four budget reports, it popped up as the only outlier out of 3,500 accounts that showed that kind of dramatic increase. So we've been investigating that. Our recommendation was with TNMP was to install an IDR meter so you can have a more precise understanding of when that spike has happened. Because with an IDR meter, you get a 15-minute increment there. So you can see if it happens at 3:15 and 3:30 in the afternoon, as an example. You have a better understanding of when that spike is happening. The P3 manages the supply side of the contract. We manage the purchase of the electricity. This is really at the meter side, which is Texas, New Mexico Power. Now, we work with Mr. Wood to advise about how we go through the process of filing a complaint with the PUC if you decide to do that. Then we can we'll work with you on that. But at this time, it's a mystery to us as well. And we don't have any more information than you do. In fact, you all brought it to our attention. You were aware of it before we were about that spike of charges because you get the bill before we. But it is unusual. And it's something that needs to be investigated. Sure.
So P3 can assist us in filing, was it a complaint with the PUC?
Or yeah, with the PUC.
PUC?
Yeah, there's a link that are provided that shows the actual process for filing a complaint with the PUC about why that charge has appeared. But I think for everybody's information, it would be good to get that IDR meter installed so we can have a better understanding.
And
y'all
do that,
or
we have to do that?
Y'all do that through Texas, New Mexico. Our relationship is with the power of the retailer, which is MB2 Shell Energy. And we'll make sure that we work with them so that they have that information. Too.
And I've been working with Texas, New Mexico, had their Texact yesterday. They looked at their meter and said nothing's wrong with their meter. They kicked back basically our, they call it market track, where we submitted a dispute on usage and billing from Shell to them. And they kicked that back, said they cannot identify any accuracy issues with their meter. And therefore, our dispute is null and they're out. I have reached out. I've got another number with Texas and New Mexico. The tech advised that at our expense, we could have the meter pulled. They install a new meter and they send it off to a third party testing to see if they can identify any issues with the meter. I haven't gotten a call back from that contact over there in Texas and New Mexico. So At this point in time, there has not been a complaint filed with the DUC, but it seems like that is probably the direction we'll have to hit, as well as getting the meter tested. I think through discussions with Mr. Matthews, he says it's a $100 charge to his knowledge. So yep.
It was, and that's what it was.
$100 is cheap when, you know, our last two bills just for this location were over $20,000. And that trend is going to continue for the next 11 months per our at least $600.
And Mr. Wood had shown me a kind of a calculation, a formula that they utilize to bill for this, well, for each location. And we're having a because of that one spike, we're now carrying a, for lack of a better term, a surcharge each month. That's what it's not that the usage in this building is
energy usage stays pretty.
It's pretty consistent, pretty, you know, but there, because of their metering and the way that the billing occurs, because we had this anomaly, this spike, that spike carries through with this formula that they have as a surcharge for the next 11 months. And that's what we're facing. It's not the actual usage. And that's where the question of the metering comes in. But I just want to make the court aware of that.
They use this back to the average.
That's right. Over 11 months. It's a demand.
Right.
Right.
So then the follow-up question then becomes, Mr. Quinn, in the projections that you've presented with us today for the $178,000 for FY25, is that taking into account this spike that we've had?
No, we're treating that spike as an anomaly at this time until we have better information that would lead us to revise that budget projection. Right now, we're basing that on the past 12 months' consumption.
Okay.
So it would not affect that spike to be calculated over 11 months.
And Mr. Wood, you said that it's about an additional $6,000 charge on this building?
So the first energy spike was an additional $13,000 on top of just our regular usage, which is about $400. So the cost of our power that we're actually using. But to pay for our transmission from Texas to New Mexico, that was $13,000, and that was calculating on a full 1,075-watt spike. But then they have a ratchet agreement supposedly within our contract that they take 80% of that 1,075, which is now 860, and that's what they use in their formula for the next 11 months, is what we're bound to, which this last billing was $6,600. But then another $72,000 over the next 11 months that we owe to Texas, New Mexico.
Okay.
Due to this one spike.
And that's on top of the 13 that we've already paid? Or we have.
You'd add in that. So what is that, 85?
Yeah, 70.
Yeah, 85, 6 is what I calculated. Just in charges for the spike, does it include any energy usage? So it's a pretty eye-opening. I mean, it's happened in somebody's home, my God, what would you do? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they apply about the same rules in the residential setting, but.
I mean, this is a delivery charge related. It's coming from Texas and New Mexico Power. That's a regulated part of the electricity industry in Texas. I mean, we manage the retail side, which is helping the energy itself, but the actual delivery is regulated by the PUC, and that's why the way forward will be to file that dispute with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and also get that IDR meter. If we're pulling the current meter to get that checked, then replacing it with an IDR meter could be better information about when that's happened, when that spike has happened.
Okay. But unfortunately answers my questions at this point.
No, we set those bills aside at the time being.
Yes.
And so.
Okay.
I would notify them using the data, but they'll set that bill aside and there's further investigation so they know that there is an issue being and know that there's going to be a focus.
Does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Quinn? Mr. Quinn, I appreciate your time in coming down and give us an update. If we can get the gray line to follow the natural gas price line, we would really like that. If you'll do that for us, just we'll be golden.
We're standing back. We're not sure it's going to get there. We may have to move that strike zone band that we have on that graph up a little bit. It's highly unlikely we're going to be able to get back to the kind of pricing we saw in the previous contract, where I think it was like
threes.
But we do our best.
Okay.
We'll monitor the market and keep appraising members about what opportunities that we see in time to procure.
Very good.
Yeah. And my card is in the folder if you have any questions at each time, if you need further additional information. And we'll continue working with Mr. Lloyd on this demand spike issue and see what we can get done.
We appreciate that. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, during that, we've had some additional information presented to us, and I believe we have,
Okay. The information I just provided to you is for the original contract for 5 years. So what she's doing right now is getting them to resubmit it to where it's just a 1 year renewal of the correct dollar amount. So the dollar amount that you see there is for a 5 year contract. So she's requesting they reprint it for 1 year right now.
Okay.
Basically, it should be at 54 seats.
Yeah,
40 seats.
Given that Ms. McFarland will return us a one-year contract with an updated pricing. Reviewing this, is there any questions or concerns that the court would have, provided that, again, other than the pricing on the first sheet, with the second sheet, any of that language? I don't know if Mr. Belt had an opportunity to look over this, but it is a 1 year, so we wouldn't need any additional language as far as budgeting purposes.
I just say table it. I don't have the correct information yet. I think maybe because that contract was for 5 years and that's not what I suggest. So and I emailed the guy, but he hasn't emailed back.
Awesome. But you're comfortable that we can execute this and it's not going to interrupt any of your stuff?
So my suggestion to Commissioner Matthews when I talked to him was they're trying to get us to sign a 5-year contract. And with what we've all talked about as far as the financial software, I don't feel comfortable signing a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
So looking at the contract that just was presented, it's for 60 months, which would be the 5 years. And so I don't feel like it's that. I don't think we need to sign that yet.
No, I was asking with the knowing that we with us being able to execute it at our next meeting.
Yes.
That's going to meet your timelines and you're comfortable doing that.
I should. Yeah. I mean, he's really good about emailing me. I just don't want y'all to be waiting down here. And especially since that was said 60 months, that was my fault for not looking at that. I deported it. So I would just table it and I'll tell him that we'll get it approved at the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And I don't think there's an issue. I mean, I think they haven't canceled our service anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's time. We just need to get that signed and done, but we can do it next time.
Okay. All right. With that, I would entertain a motion to table item number 16.
I make a motion to table item 16 until the regular court meeting on 6/25/24.
Thank you.
Got a motion to table until June 25th from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 16? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Well, congratulations to you good old over there. I pulled it off.
Yep.
We got some updates on that, so that was great. I'm just happy the disaster process is moving forward. We're gonna get some resolve with it. And other than that, that's all I have.
Very good. Commissioner Weddle.
Spent some time riding the back roads with Mr. Latham, looked at County Road 274, and I agree with his assessment to keep that thing closed down until we can peel the layers back of, or what nature hadn't already peeled, I guess. I mentioned, did go to the Shivery on Saturday, worked with MRB and walked around the court square and passed a whole bunch of surveys out, and hopefully we saw a little spike in some of the surveys. Also took a little time to walk around and talk to the food vendors about their accommodations and what they're having to do, and every one of them was running off generator, and they seemed to think if they had a place where they could hook up power, obviously it's a cost savings and a hassle and less noise, because that's all you hear on all those generators running. But there were some great food trucks out there. So anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Basham?
Congratulations to the lady, General Board Eagles. Also, just want to keep the Dawsey family in their thoughts and prayers. I talked to Matt Sunday, and Braxton is recovering and doing a good job. Keep those people in the prayers.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Taylor?
Yeah, like they mentioned, The girls out there won state in softball. Probably be back next year. They only lose one, and they're moving up some good, big good freshmen coming. And I guess kind of go against Mr. Masham's normal deal. It's pray for a light rain.
Thank you.
I know I've got a pretty good little shower yesterday. In about 35 minutes, it had nearly 2 inches of rain. But luckily, it was just in one small spot. I don't think we got any more damage from that yesterday. But other than that, that's probably going to be my report, other than keep the Dossies in your prayers.
Very good. I just want to make the court aware that we did have a traffic fatality out on Highway 36 this past weekend. An elderly gentleman, and from the reports that I've received, it was a vehicle UTV accident where the UTV had gotten in the roadway, for lack of a better way of describing it. Unfortunate. So both the family of the victim, as well as the deceased, as well as the driver of the vehicle that hit him, keep those in your thoughts and prayers. I don't know if I mentioned the dates, but it's next week is supposed to be the kickoff meeting for the public assistance, and I'm waiting to hear back. He just gave us a week of dates, the 17th through the 21st, I believe, is that week. So as soon as he Tatum gets back with us on what date they want to confirm, I'll make sure that all of you have that, because we'll need to coordinate getting all of those entities that would be needing to attend that. We've got to get that information out to them. And I think that's all I've got for my report.
To the court on Friday.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. If you'll notice, for everyone that's participating, pay bills was not on this agenda. There was an issue, I believe, with the server. It took them until yesterday to get that resolved. Therefore, we could not have printed bills for the court's review. So on Friday at 9 a.m., we will meet with the specific intent of paying bills thank you for the reminder.
No problem.
Of that. So with that concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned. Thank you all.